this week I got to catch up and sit down with Devin Werkheiser. And we met on a random trip with our mutual friend out to the Bahamas. We were out shooting this show out there. Besides being the star of his own Nickelodeon show, Ned's Declassified, has a huge heart for helping other people. We had some great, great times, and I think you guys will get a real good kick out of this one. Well, here we are, podcast number one. We have Devin. I just realized I've never had to say your last name. I'm gonna try it. I don't know if I got it right. Werkheiser.
Nailed it.
For real?
Nailed it.
I was like, I don't know if I know how to say this name right now. You should know the person's name that you have come hang out with you.
It's true. It's Jesse LeBeau, right?
That works for me.
Great.
I'll go by that from now. Formerly known as LeBeau. Jay LeBeau. So I was thinking about this. Do you remember exactly how we met? Like, I know like where we met and what was going on, but do you remember like our first moment of meeting each other?
I don't actually.
I don't either. I feel like one of us had to have said something crazy. Okay.
We were in the Bahamas.
Okay. I brought one picture that I thought might jog your memory and might go into a good story. Do you know where I'm going with this?
I know where you're going.
Don't show the camera, but I'd like you to just take a look at this memory and just tell me a little bit.
Jesse and I met on this amazing trip to the Bahamas with some mutual friends of ours, and
it was unreal.
You've
been like, Aaron, listen, you're gonna have to come on the next one.
Yeah, listen, I don't live like this normally, so it was a treat. We were on a big old yacht. We were taking private jets. It was really cool.
The dream.
It was the dream. Yeah. And so the first private jet flight I took, I asked my new friend Jesse. I said, "Hey, new friend Jesse, I've never been on a private jet. I don't know when I'm going to be on a private jet again.
Kind of a big deal.
This is not my life.
Yeah.
Can you take a photo of me with the jet?" And I think you
nailed it. And what did I say? What did new friend say?
I said, yes. I think I nailed it.
No, in my defense, I remember there was a lot of people. There was a lot of action going on. I pulled out my phone and I was trying to take it like this, but I was like, I don't like this angle. It's kind of going up at him. I held the phone up here, and then I handed it back to you, right? And I was like, dude, got the picture.
You got literally the picture. Got everything but
your head. But you know what I like about you, and I respect it, is that you posted this picture, and you said, "Thank you for the sick photo of my first time on a private jet." Literally could be anyone's head on there.
This could be anyone's body, anyone's private jet.
Yeah.
It could not be me. I could have been making this up. I could have been at home this
day. But I love it. Because it's like, it's relatable. Like, anyone watching this, put your head on this and say it's your private jet. Like, that's us looking out for the everyday person, right?
Yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah, no, I just thought that was a
great... You're a real champ, man. Thanks for capturing the moment.
Real friends.
Thanks for capturing the moment, bro.
You know, I was so in the moment, that's probably why I didn't get the picture.
That was it.
Thinking about it. What an amazing trip.
Amazing trip.
I just remember, like, in all seriousness, of us waking up each day. We had like our own private quarters, right?
Yep.
I felt like I had my own butler. Maybe I did. Like, I would leave the room and I'd come back, the room was made, it smelled like flowers, everything was folded.
Yeah.
I was like, who's touching my underwear in here?
Yeah.
And why is my underwear just out? That's the other weird
thing.
That
was me.
Oh, that was you who was folding my room.
Yeah, as soon as you left, I would go clean it up and touch your underwear and stuff.
Well, now it got a little weird, but I kinda like it.
No, that trip was really fantastic, man. Like, some people are living a real good life, and we got a taste of it.
Yeah,
we got a taste of it.
Oh, you know. I just remember each day we'd come out, and I remember literally pinching my thing, and we were looking at each other like, "How are we here?
Yeah,
how is this still happening?" Because we had the private chef who was like making
private
ice cream. Remember,
his homemade ice cream breakfast every day.
Yeah.
Just these gorgeous locations in the Bahamas.
Yeah,
and
like unique islands I don't think everyone could go to. Yeah. I don't know if they're private,
yeah,
but it seemed like it.
Jet skiing around.
Yeah.
I had a good time with you.
Did we have...
That's fun.
Well, we morphed into this character. How did... do you remember the character?
Coco D, man.
Coconut D. How did that come about? Like, That was just your crazy mind.
Invented that. You just called me the Coco D, man.
For some reason, in my
chopping
mind...
Chopping up coconuts for the people on the island.
I think you were chopping up a coconut, or you were climbing a coconut tree, or you were... There was something coconutty going on. Not to be confused with Coconut Head, which we will definitely talk about later. There was something that happened that I was like, this guy's new name, Coconut D. And then I started to become a character where I was doing this weird, like, Coconut D. Do you remember the voice? Like,
I can't remember the voice you were doing. Coco D.
Hey, you know, you got the coconuts, and you know, you see with the thing.
Coconut.
That was it. That was it. And we talked in that voice the entire trip. People hated us.
Yeah, for sure.
People absolutely hated us. Good times.
Good times.
People hating us. And then I actually remember.
Just the coconuts for the people on the island.
Yes.
50% off.
No one thinks this is funny or can relate to this, but it's so funny to us that
we're
I don't care.
Catching up now.
This is good, bro. So actually, I have one more, and then we'll talk about some real stuff. Maybe.
Okay, cool.
So we went to some nighttime spot, and I'm in the Bahamas, so I have shorts on. Like, I'm always wearing shorts, and they don't let me in because they're like, "You gotta wear pants."
A nightclub. Yeah.
And I had known you for 10 seconds at this point, so that was maybe where we met. Maybe it was at that hotel.
Yeah, could have been.
And you're like, "Oh, bro, so nice. First off, such a nice thing to do. You didn't have to do this. I have pants in my room. Just here's my room key. Go to my room, go get some pants." So I go up to your room by myself, and I'm going through your clothes.
Yep. I found one suitcase. It was easy.
Yeah, yeah.
Small suitcase.
I found some pants.
Yeah.
And then I also saw this glorious scarf.
Yeah.
You know the one I'm talking about. It is a big scarf.
You brought it to the nightclub.
Yeah. So then I show up in not only in these pants, but I also have this big scarf that makes no sense. It's so hot that I'm wearing shorts.
It's Bahamas in the summer.
But I am rocking it, and I'm like, I didn't even have the thought, like, maybe this isn't, like, I don't know this guy. I shouldn't show up wearing all of his clothes. But I just, for some reason, I was like,
gotta
scarf,
wear it.
Wearing it. And I showed up, and I think you were cool then. I think we all laughed. We were like,
I was cool.
And then I was just hot for the rest of the night.
You're the one who suffered in the nightclub with a knit scarf.
It was fun, though, because I remember I was throwing it around people and just, like, pulling them in like I was fishing.
Yeah.
It was probably inappropriate.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it.
Yeah.
But it was a good time.
It was a good time.
For the kids.
For the kids.
Such a good trip.
Yeah, it really was.
So, moving on from the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Question for you.
Tell me things.
Did I introduce you? First podcast, don't know what I'm doing yet. I did.
No.
I said, okay, so Devin Werkheiser, we got that far.
Yeah, we got that far. You said my name.
A lot of people know you from Ned's Declassified.
Yes, sir.
Is that the full name of it?
Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide.
School Survival Guide. The YouTube thing makes a lot more sense now. Now it makes sense.
Now you're on track.
So, how old were you when that happened? And I kind of want to talk about who you were before all that.
How I got here?
Yeah, like before all that. So.
Yeah, so I was born in Georgia.
Okay.
Georgia.
Shout out to our Atlanta folks.
I started acting when I was like 8 years old. Came out to LA for my first time when I was 11 to start auditioning for stuff.
Okay.
And my second pilot season, my second time out in LA, I booked the pilot of Ned's. And so Ned's filmed 3 seasons from when I was 12 to 15 years old.
Okay. Okay. So 12 to 15. That's crazy. So before that, now I'm interested in the move, because that's a big deal at 8 years old. 8, right?
Yeah.
To move. Your parents are obviously pretty supportive of you wanting to pursue this.
Super supportive. It was a slow transition to actually moving full-time to LA, but my parents were very supportive, man. It was super cool. They noticed as a kid, like for me, I was just being who I was, which was like, I loved making people laugh. I loved attention, let's be real.
Yeah, Don't see it at all. Coconut D with the coconuts.
I loved movies like Austin Powers and Ace Ventura movies. Yep. Like anything Jim Carrey. I would just recite when I was 6 years old, and my parents were just, they noticed like this is not normal, like this is really cool. So they put me in community theater, which I loved, and then it just became this snowball of, I started to book things in Atlanta. We started to spend, my mom and I, a couple months in LA auditioning, and then a couple months turned to 6 months.
Like for the pilot season?
Yeah.
Okay,
and then 6 months turned to 8 months, and eventually my whole family moved out. And it's really cool, man, because I know not everyone has that. My dad always said, I like what I do. He was an accountant. He's like, I like what I do. I don't love what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know what you want to do and you love it and you have a path to succeed at it, I said, do it, and I'm going to support you fully. And I didn't realize how rare and amazing and special that was until I got older. Like, for me, you're a kid, you just accept what's coming to you.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
For me, it was awesome, but it just felt like life.
This is normal.
Just,
this is what's supposed to happen.
My dad's supporting.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, shout out to your dad for that, because that's not the case in a lot of situations.
It
that's
really
so cool.
isn't. And shout out to my mom for taking all these trips to L.A. and, like, leaving her life and all this stuff. I mean, my parents gave me a huge leg up. A lot of people have to wait till they're 18 to start the path of acting or older after college sometimes.
Yeah.
But my parents noticed a natural inclination I had for it and gave me every opportunity to succeed at it early on, which I'm mega grateful for.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. Thankfully, I have a similar situation with my parents, super supportive. That's how I ended up out here. I was actually on a fishing boat, and I just graduated college, and I was not a good fisherman at all. Like, I was like, dude, I'm like a pretty boy, you know? Like, I showered four times before today. It's noon, you know what I mean? Like, so I'm out on this boat. It just smells like fish. Like, I had to cook for everybody too, and do like the on the crew stuff. I didn't know the knots.
This,
yeah, I didn't know the knots.
Yeah, you still don't know the knots.
I still don't know the knots. My knot game is weak, dude. Like, I got a bowline. That's about it. Half hitch, clove hitch. I'm out. I have no cell phone service, dude. I can't, like, you know, just got to college. I'm ready to get on Facebook.
Tweets,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, I'm trying to hit the tweets up. So I'm just miserable. And I'm having this experience, but I'm making some good money, you know. So and I had people around me that are just like, the captain hated me. He was so mean, dude. I tell the story when I go to the school. So I'm like, this guy, like, and this is true. He didn't like me so much that he would wait until I was below him on the bottom deck, and he'd go up on the top deck, and he would literally pee into the wind. And I would be like, because it's always raining there. I'd be like, oh man, I didn't know. And I look up and I see him up there. And he thought it was the funniest thing. And he would, like, he'd go on the radio, yep, just got Jesse, like, telling the other boats, like, just golden showered him. Like, this was like a real experience I went through.
Bro.
Yeah. It was traumatic, dude. A little pretty boy, could you imagine how I felt? I thought it was raining.
I'm sorry to laugh. That's actually really terrible.
Yeah, you're a horrible person.
Kind of hilarious and awful at the same time, now that it's passed.
All that to say. During this time, I was like, figuring out, what am I going to do? I graduated from school. I was going to go overseas and play basketball, but kind of have to start at the bottom and work my way up. Not a lot of money. I was going to Orange County and be a carpet salesman and make pretty good money, like 80 grand right out of school. I was like, oh, that's cool. Or I was going to go to LA and try to do basketball commercials. I had kind of like an inside scoop that I had a teammate, and he jumps, like, he goes by Air Dog, and he jumped 45 inches over like three kids. And so he was booking all these commercials with all these cool NBA players and telling me how much money he's making. I'm like, I should go try that. And my mom was like, you got nothing to lose, like, just go for it. And honestly, if she hadn't kind of pushed me in that direction and been supportive of what I was doing, I don't know if I would have done it, you know?
Yeah, man.
So shout out to parents or just anyone who's a role model or a mentor or a friend who's like, because most people, I feel like, want to tear you down or tell you can't do something.
I don't keep you
where they are, so they feel good about themselves.
Better about being where they are, for sure.
Or a jealousy thing. Like, I don't know why it is, but I've seen it. It sounds like you've seen it too, where sometimes people don't always want to see other people.
Those are the
people
you don't want. There's a lot of things that come into play there, and I mean, we're lucky that it came directly from our parents, because, like, that's the best, most direct source of support. Those are, you know, you shape your view of the world on how your relationship is with your parents, but it doesn't have to come from your parents. Like you said, like, it can come from the Jesse LeBeau Among the Giants Talk Think Like a Star podcast.
Thank you. Nailed it. I'll pay you that money later. Are you there for that?
No, but for real, like, It's hard to go it alone, I'll say that. It definitely helps to have someone in your corner, even if it's someone 3,000 miles away, like on TV, telling you you can go for anything you want.
Yeah.
I'm stoked it was my parents, because it gave me an early start.
Yeah, and what I think is so cool about today is, like, and even, like, from when I was in school, you know, is, like, we have so much more access to people. Like, you can have, like, a Tony Robbins is my personal mentor. I never met him, but I can watch all of his videos.
Right.
I want to be a skateboarder. I can look up, and you can find people, and you can, because it's so critical to put yourself around people that are positive, they're going to encourage you, that maybe are doing something that you want to do successfully at a high level.
Yeah.
And now with the computer, with the internet, you know, you can go on there, all jokes aside, and you can surround yourself with this.
Yeah.
And it's just what you decide to put your energy.
Dude, it's so crazy because there is so much content and access right now. It's so flooded. We have so many options for what we want to put into our face holes.
Our optical lenses.
And I think a lot of people don't use that to its full advantage because it's so easy. I mean, sometimes.
What did you want to say? I feel like you want to say something really aggressive.
No,
right there.
Sometimes I'll just find myself like scrolling Facebook like mindlessly, but I could have used that time
to
look up a YouTube video that pertains to something I'm either learning, growing in, or interested in. You know. I think it's very easy to waste so much time on the internet because there is so much out there. We were talking about this a little bit before we started rolling. There's so much entertainment out there just for entertainment's sake. And that's cool. That has its place in my life.
I like to laugh at night. Yeah.
Definitely love a good laugh.
Yeah.
But I do think it's important to take advantage of listening to meaningful content and content with substance and content that's going to serve you as an individual in your journey. Like, that's why I was stoked to come talk to you on this. It's why I do the YouTube series.
Yep.
It's what I listen to a lot of podcasts. I watch a lot of stuff.
Everybody like, Lewis.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because there's, that's definitely something I try and encourage with whatever reach I have on the social medias.
Yep. Oh yeah, I see you with the tweets and whatnot.
I try and encourage people, and especially young people, to seek out role models and learn from them.
Yeah.
Don't want to be them. Like, listen, my life's great. The Bahamas were great, right?
Good times.
Okay.
Still talking about it.
But I don't want any kid to confuse what I'm trying to teach with you wanting my life.
Yeah.
Don't want my life.
Yeah.
Just learn my stuff.
Yeah.
And how it pertains to your life. Like, that's how I feel. I've got a lot of role models. I got a lot of people. Like, I'm an actor, and there's plenty of people I know who are where I want to be in acting.
Yep. Yep.
That still doesn't mean I want their life.
Yeah.
Because we all have baggage. We all have stuff. And it's not better or worse. Like, I at least am familiar with my baggage.
I don't
want someone else's, even if they're farther ahead in acting where I want to be. And I'm like, I want to be there.
Yeah.
But I don't know what you've gone through. I don't know. Like, I'm grateful for the path I'm on. And it's important not to confuse those things. I have lots of role models, but I don't want their life. I just want to learn what I can from them and apply it to my own situation and my own path.
Yeah.
And I definitely think young people fall into that trap of seeing a celebrity
all day, like right here. We're looking all day, and you're seeing only the glamorous. Only like, look at this. We got lights. We got, you know, we're gonna make ourselves look beautiful or something. I don't know. That's possible. You're only seeing
10 seconds
of something. That most of it's not even real.
Entertainment and perfection.
It's manufactured.
Yeah.
Look how great everyone. Oh my gosh. It's like I'm not allowed to be sad or down because look at everyone else's life is so amazing all the time.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden it's like I can't be like down. Like I was just reading this book. I'll show you later, but it's basically like, it's good to be sad sometimes. It's good to be down. It's good to have experiences that are different than the Bahamas. So now when I go to the Bahamas, like, man, this is a complete high and an incredible experience because on a day-to-day level, I'm not trying to be on that level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's really important to get that message to people because especially young people, we want everything to be happy all the time, and we think that it's possible.
Yeah.
We confuse it. We think it's possible to be happy all the time. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not even like
you
have to have sad days. It's part of this experience.
Well, that's what I want to talk about then, because like people look like, oh, I need the followers. I need the cool stuff. And I'm glad you brought up social media because that's something I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
But it's like they see something. But that doesn't necessarily mean that's what your whole life is. So, like, with Ned, so you did it for 3 seasons.
Yeah.
Everyone assumes, like, oh, it's this glamorous thing. Like, I know from a little bit I've done, these are long days. Like, tell me some of, like, the hard things that weren't so fun that people might not know about. Maybe it's not just that show, but just in general, like making the transition as an actor, whether it's self-esteem or people judging or being told no.
Yeah.
Okay, I got one part and that's awesome, but I got told no. How many times? Was it a lot of no's for you, or is it pretty?
Stuff happened quick, but
that's great.
Since there's been a lot of no's.
Yeah.
It's not easy. It's freaking fun. I love it. It's what I want to do with my life, and I'm clear about that.
Yep.
But that comes with every path you take is going to come with its own set of obstacles and challenges, and acting for sure has it. It is not that glamorous, man. Like, the glamorous bit is like 3% of the journey. My life is very unstable. I'll say that. Like, my finances unstable, baby.
I know you said, everybody thinks I'm rich. I'm not. That was a little Bahama flavor for all of you who weren't there. God, they're gonna just hate us after this. Like, these guys just talked about how awesome their trip was for 5 hours. We're not going 5 hours.
We're probably going 5 hours.
Yeah, okay, I'm in.
You can edit it down.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a lot of coffee before.
Yeah, I got nowhere to be. Man. I got no life. I'm not booking anything.
I'm unemployed,
anything.
Dude.
The good life.
But yeah, man, there's so much that comes with, like, being an actor that's not glamorous at all. It's a hard, unstable, in all aspects, it's unstable. Emotionally, my emotions go all over the place.
Can't see that at all.
Going on so many auditions, well, I can relate it to anyone who has a clear, big dream for their life. The tension of where you are now and where you want to be is emotionally difficult.
Yeah.
There are lots of days where I'm very motivated by that vision. I'm like, it's cool, baby. It's coming. I'm working. I know what I want to create. I'm going to persevere, all that stuff. But there's also days where that vision, feeling not closer to that dream, is hard, man. I go crazy some days where I'm like, why hasn't it happened yet?
Yeah.
And going on so many auditions for projects that I love, those are the hardest ones, is auditions.
Like, I would love to get this part.
Oh, I would love to.
I want to be George of the Jungle.
Yeah, I would love to do this role. And then it's not even like they say no, it's just you don't hear back.
Yeah, well, that's even worse.
Ghosted.
Have you ever been ghosted by a girl? Not to get derailed here, we're going to come back to this.
I don't know. I've definitely ghosted a few.
You have. Yeah. You're Casper.
I've ghosted.
You are Casper.
I've ghosted friends before. I just, like, sometimes keeping up with the phone
is a lot of work. I'll tell you this. I had a girl that I liked.
Okay.
This wasn't that far long ago. And she ghosted me. She actually ghosted me like 3 or 4 times. And I had never been I didn't even know what ghosty was. And then I think Taylor was like, oh, dude, she hit you with the ghost or whatever. You did Casper. And I'm like, what? And then I'm like, you're just going off. For those of you who don't know what ghosting is, it's just, you never hear. They just disappear.
You just never hear from someone again.
And I thought, like, I'm in love with this girl. Like, I thought we had love. Like, and ghosted me. The most painful, most just like, so confusing. Like,
it's,
I didn't know, because I'm like, I'm so nice. Why would you not just say, like,
it's so much more painful than a direct, hey, this isn't working out.
Like, yeah. Then I could be like, well, I'm going to make it work out because I'm not a quitter. But, you know, you could do something. But when you get ghosted, I just made me want it more. It was like the best, like, game. I'm like, I'm going to find this ghost. I'm Ghostbusters. Like, I'm going to get this ghost. So back to this.
Yeah.
When you go out for an audition, it's not like, hey, sorry, you didn't get the part. We gave it to Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Sometimes, you know, you'll get a call back. You'll test. It'll be down to you and 3 people, and you'll hear who got it if it's not you.
Yeah.
But for some.
Shia LaBeouf. There he goes again.
You just never hear back because they read up hundreds of people and then they pick their ones. They don't call everyone.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. So you're waiting. You're waiting for the call.
And here's why, and here's what you can improve on. So
didn't like your face.
So it's this weird thing of believing and trusting and knowing where I'm headed and that it's coming. And then also letting go of every audition as soon as I walk out the door. Like, it's a hard thing to do. So, yeah, man, a lot of acting is emotionally painful. But it's worth it. It's also satisfying.
When you do hit that one, it makes all those no's.
Well, a great acting coach reminded us. She goes, guys, your life is always one phone call away from utterly changing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She said, not everyone lives that life.
Yeah.
Unless the phone call's bad. Like, not everyone lives that you are one phone call away from your life transforming.
The big show, the big movie, whatever.
Yeah, and that is an exciting reminder. And it's a choice. I go, yeah, I do want that. And I do love doing it.
I love being unstable. I love not knowing what's going
to
happen.
The beautiful thing about acting is, for me to learn how to be a better actor, I have to learn how to be a better person. And to learn how to be a better person, I learn about acting. Like, it goes hand in hand. The more I dive into acting, the more I dive into myself as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do like that about that. And the beautiful thing about the instability with the dream that I have is, not everyone does this, but it encourages me to find stability elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It encourages me to find, like, okay, so this job isn't stable.
Yeah.
This job is an emotional roller coaster. So then it serves me to find a place of stability in myself that is untouchable and unchanging. I think that's why a lot of actors, I mean, some are just crazy and I understand why and I empathize,
yeah.
but
yeah.
I think a lot of actors read a lot of self-development books. They get on that wavelength because you sort of, it's a survival mechanism.
Yeah.
Like, I got to learn.
Essentially being rejected all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
I got to learn how to internally adjust myself back into a state of balance and centeredness so that I can just live my life. If I went with every emotion that I feel about auditions and the characters and not succeeding and watching all my contemporaries succeed, like, if I went with all those reactive emotions and believed them to be real, I would I would just be in a hole. I would be Gollum, dude.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
would just be a cave troll.
Well, I'm glad you're not that, although it does sound very interesting. If that's what you turn into, might have to bring you out
character work, man.
To some events. he's doing a real thing.
But yeah, it serves me, and I think it serves all of us to find out how, because the external world, like, acting's just a manifestation of it, but our external circumstances are so unpredictable, man.
Yeah.
They are always going to be changing. Life is going to just... stuff is going to happen, like, stuff's going down that you can't control. So it serves all of us to figure out how internally, all right, how can I find some groundedness in myself? How can I find out how to adjust these thoughts that are telling me I'm worthless, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's funny to me because it's like almost like ideally you could go into the room, you could do an audition, and then you could leave and just not care or think about it. If you could do that, which is impossible.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, because you're, like you said, you're invested. This is part I actually want. Or my friend's out for it too and got it. Or, you know what I mean? So it's all these things.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful illustration for life. And, like, for me, a lot of times I use sports as, like, an analogy for life lessons and helping you in your life. And this is, I feel like, a beautiful one for dealing with rejection, for dealing with being told no, which is going to happen way more often than not. But the story that I do a lot of times when I go to schools is I hold up something. Sometimes it's money, sometimes it's a bag, and they come and they go. Some of them go for it, some of them don't.
Yeah, I saw that.
You saw that one. Yeah. So it's like your life didn't. The takeaway is your life didn't get any worse. Like, it stayed exactly the same.
Right.
As long as you can deal with the emotional side of it, like, yeah, maybe some people, like, looked at me and I went for it and I didn't get it and they're like, oh, look at him, he's trying or something. But, like, that's what we talked about earlier. Why do you care about what those other people think? You shouldn't care, because then you're gonna, if you waste all your time worrying about what everyone else thinks, you're never gonna live the life that you wanna live.
Yeah.
So it's just, I love that, dude. I think it's a beautiful illustration. And I found one thing that terrifies me still is, like, if I see, like, a pretty girl, like, I can go talk to anyone. You and me are kind of the same that way. We can go talk to anyone, but there's a girl that I'm, like, I'm attracted to this girl. Like, I won't go up and, like, get her number. I'm not that guy. Like, my friends, luckily I have friends that can go do that. And, like, can you go talk to her?
Yeah.
But, like, if I'm not, like, into her, then I could go talk to her about anything for a second. But if it's that one. So when I started.
Like that with auditions.
Right? Yeah. Like, that one I really want. Now I'm nervous and scared.
Yep.
And so I started forcing myself to, like, go up to those girls and, like, talking to them or like trying to get their number. And sometimes I found out, well, actually it was a lot easier because a lot of people are afraid to approach that type of person.
Yeah.
But it made me get out of my comfort zone and it made me stretch, and it was just a good exercise, and I got a lot of good numbers. So sometimes I never got slapped, at least I was respectful.
You're a nice guy.
I'm a nice guy. I'm not threatening.
Yeah.
I'm usually dancing.
You're pretty
I'm usually a lot of the body rolls. You get it.
No music on. Hi, I'm Jesse.
Yeah. There's no music.
You're gorgeous.
Yeah. Could I have your number?
She's like,
can I have it?
Kind of into this.
Yes, it's weird. This is different.
It's weird, but he's cute.
So dimples. So after after Ned's.
Yep.
You've been going. I know there's been like a couple movies. I remember your tour. You have a thing tonight, and I want to talk about that too. Yeah. But what prompted you to start? It's called Devin's Life Survival Guide.
Yeah.
It's the basically your YouTube channel. You're putting out videos of you talking.
So it had been a lot of years since Ned's. It has been. I mean, it's been 10 years since Ned's. And,
oh, wow.
And
it still plays, though.
It still plays.
Because I'm telling you, in schools, kids know it.
Yeah,
because I brought it up
plays,
in the school.
Okay. It's still... I think the cool thing about Ned's, I mean, most kids are just big on their entertainment, so they know every show and every actor and all that stuff. But I think Ned's had this special quality because it was so big, meaning like size-wise, it was a cartoon, even though we were people, like the energy
was not
based in reality.
Yeah,
it was
wow,
what's
that? Yeah.
However,
shout out to Coconut Head.
Shout out to you.
We love
Coconut
Head. That guy. I've asked people and they're like, oh, he was amazing on that show. Because I didn't know. I just, you know, for those of you watching, our friend Rob played this character, Coconut Head. And I'd seen the memes. Like, he's tons of memes.
Memed.
Like, people love meeting him.
He's
memeable. He has the crazy hair. But I didn't know. Like, he had a pretty awesome role that everyone who knows the show knows him.
I mean, he's like a staple of the show.
Yeah.
But the show is so zany, but at the heart of it, it's Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide. The genuine message the whole time was my character Ned was breaking the fourth wall and talking to the viewer at home, genuinely trying to give them tips that'll just help them survive school better.
Okay.
And Ned was the everyman. He was like the underdog and the everyman, and not popular, not a nerd, like he was
super
just
relatable.
In the middle.
Okay.
And the message of the whole show was just that, like, we're all in this together. I know it gets tough. Here's some ways to try and make it better. And the overall message was just like, be who you are and
so keep
going.
So it's dope. That's dope, yeah.
And so I think it holds this special place in kids who know it. It holds this special thing, like, everyone I meet who knows the show, it's nothing but love coming from them.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
it's not just like it was a cool show. It's like a cool show that actually kind of helped me in a way deal with some things that I was going through.
Exactly, man.
In the middle school years or high school years.
That was a special dynamic. And
oh, that's crazy.
And just like a year ago, man, like, it's still the thing I'm most known for, and that's okay. I didn't want to turn my back on that, even though I've got bigger dreams. Like, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready to break through that. I'm working towards that next step. And happened for a long time, but I don't want to turn my back on that. Like, that's a beautiful thing. And last year, I had some time on my hands, and I was just thinking and talking to some people on Twitter and like Instagram, and I wanted to connect with those fans more.
Mm-hmm.
But Twitter and it's tough to do,
limited.
It's limiting. So I was like, how can I connect with them more? And I just started to realize, I did this MTV interview, and the girl was asking for life, like, what would your tips be now?
Yeah.
And it,
oh, that's pretty
and
good.
It got great feedback, and I realized, okay. And kids tweet me all the time, like, I still need your tips. Like, give me
some
tips,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. I need midlife crisis tips.
Yeah.
I need grandpa tips.
And I realized, like, okay, you know what? This is a cool responsibility. Like, if these kids are still looking to me for some advice, you know what? Like, I do have stuff to say. I do have a perspective on the world that I know holds value in my life. And, like, if you're going to put me in that role of advice giver,
yeah,
let me use that, actually. Like, that's a beautiful thing. I realized, like, this is beautiful. I have young people's ears.
They want to listen.
They want if they're gonna be open to. Oh, let me just.
Yeah, no, this is a light one. I move it around sometimes.
Yeah, so, man,
yeah,
I just barely.
Yeah. We like to be able to move stuff around here.
But yeah, I just realized, like, wow, if you're gonna be open to listening, then let me say some stuff.
Yeah.
And I didn't go to college, so
okay.
I don't have college tips.
Okay. Yeah.
I like to speak on stuff that I have experience in.
Yep.
That's a good lesson for people. Like, when someone's giving you advice, sometimes it's just flat out good, but make sure, like, do they have credibility in this area?
Yeah. What is their reference?
Like, is your friend who's never had a successful relationship,
I'm gonna make you a millionaire,
giving you relationship advice all the time?
Yeah.
Cool. Take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah, exactly.
Is your broke friend giving you business advice?
I'm telling you, we're going to be millionaires. I've heard
just
that all the time.
Make sure they
I've been that person. Like, let's go. It's just it's not a pyramid scheme. It's like it's a business. It's multi-level marketing.
It's good to listen to people with credibility in the area. So that's what I started to write episodes on, of like, okay, what lessons have I learned in my life, and like, what have I gone through, and how can I relate what I've learned to a universal message?
Yeah.
And it's been beautiful, man.
Tons of comments. I feel like there was like 500 or 600 comments on one of the videos I was watching the other day.
Yeah, man.
And like you said, you could tell you're talking about stuff that you have experience in, but you also care about.
And so that's the overall theme of the show. I did 20 episodes so far.
And there's gonna be more?
Yeah.
You're still doing it? Okay.
I called it season one, like, it's 2016.
Okay.
And I'm working on new episodes now.
Okay, cool.
And
what is your channel? Just so it's
Devin Work Harder.
Work Harder. Okay. We'll edit that. We'll put it in the show notes at the bottom or whatever.
Yeah. But Devin Work Harder on YouTube, or just search Devin's Life Survival Guide and it'll come up.
Okay.
And I'm proud of it, man, and I'm so stoked about the little community that's being created. All the comments are
I invite people
to comment, and I comment back, and I read every comment, and I comment back on a good amount of them. I just ask people to, like, share your experience with what this episode's about, you know.
Yeah.
LGBT or depression or
hard work.
Hard work's definitely one. Yeah,
Do you use a teleprompter? Do you use a teleprompter, by the way?
No, so I write.
Because that's what I took away. I'm like, bro, this is really good. Like, every word, like, almost every word was like, man, this is like, but it didn't seem like you were using a teleprompter, so I was like,
no teleprompter. I should use one.
The kid could just talk real good.
I mean, I use the skills I have, man. I'm an actor. I can memorize really easy. So I write every episode because the message, I'm not improvising this. The message is very specific, and how I deliver it matters. Like, I'm trying to deliver a message in a way that actually gets through to people.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, like, weave through people's defenses. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know about this. You're
give them a little bit of what they want.
And you're a pretty non-threatening guy. I use this in my life. Yeah. Like, someone comes at me aggressively, I just try and get under their radar, cool.
I'm one of you,
and connect with them, right? Yeah. So I try and get through people's defenses. So I write every episode and then memorize it and speak it to the camera, so that it's like,
dude, I think it's awesome, and I want to give you some props.
Thanks for it,
because not everyone who would be given this platform, be given ears to that people want to listen to, would use it for something like that. So I think it's so cool. And we know a lot of these people out here in the short time I've been out here.
And
there's people that have a big platform and they don't necessarily use it. They're using it for other things, which is their choice, and that's fine. But I think it's really cool that you have this special thing happening where you had a show that actually allowed you to give advice, and now you've taken it and you could do what you want with it.
Life can be so cool in that way. Like, just little me, I always thank little child Devin. Like, I was just being a kid, being naturally who I was. My parents noticed something. They gave me an opportunity to use those natural skills that I had. It led me very quickly to Ned's, which was a show where I got to play someone who helped and cared about everyone.
Seen all over the world, right? Like, worldwide. Yeah, everywhere. Yeah.
I got an Italian Kids' Choice Award.
Did you really? Please tell me you went there and accepted it.
It was the first year they didn't actually do an event there. I was so sad.
That would have been amazing.
Favorito nella star.
Upsetting. You offended some people for sure.
I offended some Italians.
Yeah,
there.
Sorry.
But it's crazy doing the show. I was just going with the flow as a kid at that point.
Yeah.
And then as I become a teenager and become more of an adult and start to really see what I care about in life, I am Ned. Like, I genuinely do care about helping people and giving people an option, like a better option.
Yeah.
Like, hey, yeah, I get it. Life can be tough, but what if you just took this little path right here? You might find it a little more empowering, and you might get a little more out of it.
Yeah.
So life turned out really cool in that way.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think, so I kind of want to rewind on something we talked about earlier, because I think it's important, something that I see with kids when I'm going and doing my thing.
Yeah.
And it's social media.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that I haven't really totally formed what I feel about it, but I'm going to kind of try to put it into words.
Sure.
And then I want you to, I guess, give me your thoughts.
Sure.
But it's such a distraction that kids aren't developing skills. They're seeing things that, like we said, are smoke and mirrors of people's lives, comparing themselves to it. It's affecting their self-esteem.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the answer is you don't have it all, you don't have social media at all, because to me that's also kind of creepy.
Right.
But like, there has to be some balance where, you know what I mean? Like, if I meet a girl and she has a ton of followers, I'm like, I'm not ever going to take you serious as like a girl that I would want to be with, which I want to talk about that next, because I want to find my Sarah. But the other aspect is like, if you have too much, but if you don't have it at all. So like, for me, it's like finding that balance, because the kids tell me, I want to be successful, but they aren't willing to put this phone down.
Yeah.
They don't want success bad enough that they're willing to throw their phone away and actually read a book or watch videos like yours of how to develop a skill, how to, you know, ride a skateboard or whatever the thing is. Like, they, and so this thing, which can be used for so much good, it helps you connect with people, it helps me connect with people. How do you navigate that, especially when you're a kid? Because one day I'm going to be a parent, and I'm going to have a kid, and I want to be like, you have a phone? You're not having that phone. I'm not letting anybody send you a picture. You know what I mean?
I know, man.
So, I don't know. It's a tricky time.
We, like, just missed it.
If
all this stuff, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, all these new things were in when we were in middle school, man, I don't know how I could avoid it as a kid. I don't know how parents can try and get a kid to avoid it, although I agree with you, it can be so detrimental. Yeah, I don't know.
It can be used for so much good.
For so much good or so much wasted time.
You're getting bullied from a kid on the other side of the planet that you've never met before now.
Yeah.
You're playing every video game. But you want to be able to enjoy life too, so you can't just totally like, oh, I'm going to deny myself this.
Yeah, I don't know the answer, man. And we're a little different. Like, I use it not only for acting, it helps for people to see numbers, like it's quantifiable, but also getting the message that I believe in the world out. Like, I use it, it's a specific tool, but I still find myself like scrolling Facebook.
Oh, I'm guilty of it too.
And then I go, I just spend 20 minutes like not looking at anything, just scrolling.
Yeah. One video leads to the next video, you know, the thing where it pops up, and then I'm like, I'm 8 videos deep. I don't even know who this guy is. Like, what was going on here?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. In our brains, there's an addictive chemical. It releases dopamine just to be on social media. So whether you're actually getting, you might not be getting mental or soul pleasure from it, but your brain is getting this chemical hit.
Ooh, I just got another like.
Ooh, yep.
It's giving validates.
We're becoming addicted to it. I don't know the answer, man. I really want to encourage people to be on it less. I don't know.
It's tricky.
It's tricky. I would just encourage everyone and anyone, no matter what age, just, it's not like you have to be off it entirely, but put your value into things that give you value back.
Yeah.
And social media really isn't giving you a lot. I love reading books. Read books. There's value in that. Like, not just self-development books, great fiction books. Like,
we got a whole book, you know, over here. If you need to borrow a book, let us know.
Hey.
We got books, dude.
Yeah,
I got
some books, bro. Yeah. there's just so many other things you can do with your time that actually will give you value back into your life, and social media feels like this endless pit. I know people think likes are value coming back into their life. It's not.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. So here's like the positive twist, because I'm always looking like, how can I get an advantage over other people?
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm competitive. I'm a sick pup. But I'm like, imagine that 20 minutes, right?
Yeah.
That you took there, and I did the same thing. I'm working on it. I do allow myself 15 minutes in the morning. Yeah. 15 minutes at night. Like, yep. That's what I'm trying to do. Am I perfect? Sure. No. If I go over it, I find something that leads to the, you know, the next rabbit hole. But if I can limit that, then all the people that are spending an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours on there a day, if I can be, like you said, reading a book, learning a language, doing, working on a skill, that will give me a huge advantage. And now everyone has brought themselves down, and it has raised my ability to just be a more well-rounded person.
The most valuable resource we have in our life is time. And those Facebook minutes are not valuable. And that's exactly it. If I don't have regrets in life, but where I'm at now at 25, if when I look back at me at, say, 18, I don't have regrets. I learned a lot. I'm great. I had great experiences. But the only thing I would have done differently is spend more time practicing the things that I do now. I'm a musician, too.
And I've seen you live.
I'm a good musician, all right?
Mayada.
But
I saw that show, man.
Yeah,
that was good.
Listen, I can play. I'm good. However, if I could do anything different, it's I would put more hours into that. Mm-hmm. Because music fuels my life, man. Not just because I can reach people with it, just because sitting in my apartment playing feeds my soul, man. Like, it just feels good to play. So if I could get anything back or do anything different, is I would take more advantage of the time I have and had. And I'm trying to do that now is, all right, I've got this many hours in the day. Let me block out music practice. Let me block out time to work on acting. Let me block out time to work on the YouTube show. Like, use your time. We got to use our time. It's the most valuable resource we have. And it only makes your life better. It improves my self-esteem when I am disciplined with something that I love. It improves my life to be disciplined in the things that I love. And it's that 10,000 hours thing. Like, keep putting those hours in. There is no, I'm sure you talk about this because it's the perfect sports situation, but there's no secret formula. The best people in the world at anything practice the most.
Yeah.
The best people work the hardest across the board, like lasting success. Yes, you can have natural talent and maybe a flash of success.
Yep, that momentary.
But the best people in the world who sustain it for their life, they work the hardest. That's it, always. In sports, in acting, in music, that's it. That's it. There is no secret. That's why my second episode of The
Guy. I'm getting fired up right now. I'm like, let's go do some push-ups. Let's go. Someone's getting better.
Yeah, that's why my second episode was work harder. Like, there just is. We
it's
all
simple.
Just.
We make it complicated.
We all want it now, or we think, oh, that person got it and I didn't. Well, look, practice the most at what you want to do and it's going to happen for you. Or you're just going to become amazing at that thing.
Yeah.
And you're going to give yourself opportunity to succeed at it. That's it. I hung out with my friend last week. He's 40 years old. He's the most fit human being I know. He's just...
Muscles on muscles.
He's just so jacked.
How do you do it?
And not crazy steroids jacked, right? Just fit. Just abs popping.
Yeah.
And I've always known that about him. And he inspires me in my fitness goals. But some part of me was still believing that, that's just his genes. No. I went and did a workout with him last week.
He goes hard in the paint.
Hard in the paint, bro.
Yeah.
Like, just so much working out. And it was a nice reminder. Oh, yeah. That's why he has that body.
Yeah.
He and it's works not easy. At it, man.
It's not easy. It sucks. But then you get to look like this.
Yeah.
The payoff. Man. And there's something about, like you said, people want this instant gratification, or they want
they
the
want
overnight
this
success.
Instant gram.
Yep.
I'm just kidding.
With all that being said, follow Devin Werkheiser on social media is horrible, but follow Devin
me on
at Devin Werkheiser.
And like it all that I feel good about myself.
Because he needs that chemical in his brain to feel good. Everyone wants that instant gonna happen overnight. But if you got it overnight, like, if you had never gone on an audition and they're like, called you up. We have a friend who kind of had this situation with the Tyler Perry film. Like, he hadn't gone out for anything before and it was like the first one.
Yeah.
And it's like, you wouldn't, in my mind, probably appreciate it and be as grateful for it if you didn't have to work and sacrifice and fail a bunch of times, you know? So there's something to say, going and doing, like I used to be able to be really good at pushing through pain for training with sports, and then I got done and then I become like the softest, like, oh, this hurts, like I don't want to run, because like I didn't have that goal in mind. Now it was like, I just want to look good with my shirt off, you know, which isn't very good motivation for motivation shape, where before I wanted to compete, you know, and be the high play at the highest level.
So that's a huge thing. You have to root your motivation into your vision for what you want. So everyone's like, just live in the moment, don't live in the future. Well, yes, that's true. All the work gets done in the moment. Your experience of the world is happening in the present, but you got to create this vision for what you want in the future. And that is the key to motivation for me. Whenever I'm like slacking off or bored or not wanting to work out, the best way to get motivated isn't to shame and blame and guilt, like, oh, I'm being lazy.
It's not that.
Beat yourself up. It's just, I go back to, what do I want? Like, what do I want 3 months from now? What do I want 6 months from now? Okay, here's the vision. What do I have to do today? What do I have to do? Because you know what you got to do to get there. We just fool ourselves like, no, I don't know how to get there. No, you know. You got to put in the hours. And it's that. Like,
I love that. How did you say it? Root your motivation in the moment?
Yeah, into your vision into for your what vision. You want.
Yeah, yeah. No, I love that.
Because that's it, right? Like, you worked out a bunch knowing I want to compete as an athlete. So then you push through all that momentary pain because you know in 3 months I'm going to be balling.
Yep.
That's it. That's it in everything in life is like check in. What do I want 6 months from now? It's even it in relationships, man. Like people I think are real quick to like throw away a relationship because it gets hard. And look, some relationships are just bad and you need to break up. Like you're not good for each other.
We talked about a few of those earlier.
Yeah. But a lot of times, man, I love my woman and I'm so clear about what I want to create with her. Like, this is my person. No matter the fights we get into, like, that's going to be in every relationship.
Yeah.
I'm the common denominator.
Caveat, quick. So he has Sarah, his girlfriend, who is the perfect, like, the perfect woman. Like, she is incredible. I've only actually been around her a few times.
Yeah.
But every time I walk away, I'm like, gosh dang it, Devin. Like, I get mad. She's so good, it makes me mad. Like, your smoking hot girlfriend means everything to me. I hope that doesn't offend you.
Not at all.
Good. Okay. No.
She's smoking hot.
No. It's she amazing. Is.
But she's
an
amazing.
Incredible person, and I am truly jealous, like legitimately jealous of you for finding that.
But we work at our relationship, man. Like it is work, and it is friction and tension. Sometimes it's a lot of joy and bliss and silliness. But we work to be this trusting and this strong with each other, and it comes down to that vision. Like, no matter what, no matter how clear I am about this person and that I want a family with her and all this stuff, sometimes you get in the muck in a relationship and you can't see the end. But what I do in those moments, like as difficult as it gets sometimes, is I go back to that vision. I go, what do I want with this person? I want this. I want this beautiful thing that I know we're creating already. Okay, so it's really dark right now. I can't see the end. Just hold on to that vision and keep moving forward, right? That's what gets us through, man.
So what would you say? Because I'm out here trying to find my Sarah.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
I told you, she means everything to me. It's creepy. What would you say is like the number one thing it's so hard to limit down to one thing, so maybe that's not a fair question, but like, what is a key for you in a relationship? You know, a lot of people are like, it's communication, or like you're saying, maybe it's the hard work, or maybe like, I guess you're kind of like, if you're going to give some advice, you know, I'm looking for relationship advice over here. Yeah, what do I look for? Is it not the facial mask that I did yesterday? Because I thought that was pretty cool, but.
Well, I have two episodes directly talking about this on Devin's Life Survival Guide I think you do this in your life, but before you can attract the next level relationship, before you can attract the one, before you should even want to enter into that relationship space, you gotta know how to be alone and enjoy it.
Love myself?
Yeah.
I'm screwed. No, I'm good there. If anything, I probably like myself too much.
Yeah, you might need, you might need a girl to keep
but
you
no,
in check.
I see what you're saying.
But that, I mean,
if you aren't happy, you can't find your fulfillment
you
in
gotta
another person.
You got to know how to take yourself on dates. You got to know how to go spend nights alone and not just spend the time, but enjoy spend an enriched night by yourself. Like, you got to have that before you enter relationships, no matter how beautiful. They are hard. It's a mirror. Someone is going to tell you exactly what you don't like about yourself or the areas in your life you need to grow. That is a function of the relationship.
Yeah.
This person, especially if it's good love, if it's good love, this person's going to come in and love you and support you, but also tell you the areas in your life where you're bullshit.
Can improve.
That's right. And they're going to call you on it, and it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, and so, hopefully they call you on it, because that's who you're going to grow and be better together, and that's what you need.
Yeah, so bad relationships spiral downward. Like, you're constantly, like, tearing each other down, and it creates this negative spiral. The good relationships, you're spiraling upwards. Like, you're supporting each other and calling each other up in where they can grow, and then it creates this beautiful thing. But, yeah, I don't have one piece of advice other than really know how to love yourself and really do the work on yourself.
Seriously, great. And it's something that, honestly, I have a moment of transparency here. That's, like, something that I struggle with. I had a girlfriend for 4 years, pretty serious relationship, you know, wanted to get married kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I always had that kind of problem with her of she'd been from one relationship to one relationship. She, since 16 years old, had never not been in a relationship. Like, literally broke up with one the next day or the next week. Like, so she never had that time to learn who she was. And, and so I put that on her, like, you need to, like, figure that out on your own. And then I've come to see, speaking of the mirror, like, that's kind of like, not that I've been in one relationship after other, but like sometimes I can look for validation in a female counterpart, you know, of like I need, and so finding that time to be by myself, to be alone, to enjoy it with my guys is something that it rings true and it benefits. So
yeah, man, it's weird. Like I knew how I was good on my own, and I knew how to do it successfully and love my life alone. Now I've met someone who I consciously want in my life because being with her does elevate everything. Yeah. But I knew how to do it on my own, and I actually wasn't looking for the one. I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know that I believed in like the one, because I sort of like I love everybody and everyone's got beauty in them.
But you found that one. You went in verse with Jason. Shout out to Sarah. We love you. I don't know if you have cousins or sisters. But I'm available. I'm around.
Your sister's engaged. Sorry, man.
Oh, really? Gosh, that's serious. Was there someone, whether it was, it sounds like your parents were pretty close to your parents, friend, I don't know, is there someone?
Yeah, there's a few. So, I mean, my parents for sure. The way my dad encouraged my dreams, wow. My mom, just mega wise woman. I could talk to her about whenever I'm in some stuff, I would call her, and like I just learned, the older I get, the more I realized I learned so many helpful qualities from my mom directly. Like she just had those nuggets of wisdom, man, always. So my parents for sure. Right now Sarah, man, Sarah's the most influential. Like we're a team, and she's my partner, and therefore my partner is the most influential person in my life, in the most positive way. She's like my reference point for what's going on in my life. She's like, I got someone to bounce everything off of. If you're open to it, like life's gonna teach you. I'm grateful for every relationship I ever had, even the ones that in hindsight, like, oh, that wasn't right. But they all led me to the next phase, and they all taught me something, you know? Even every friendship I've ever, you know?
If it wasn't good, what did you take away from it?
Yeah, life's always teaching you.
That's the attitude is everything that, is kind of like my big theme. Yeah. It's like things are going to happen, good, some bad. Yeah. But like what you choose to respond in those situations is going to dictate your whole life, whether you get bitter or you get better. So I feel like I love when I hear other people kind of say it in different ways, like even philosophy or religion. I kind of hear that in everything all the time.
Yeah, there's like a universal, there's some themes there. Who's your biggest?
I would say was
it the
most people,
was
the captain. Well, in a way, it motivated, because there's another story there that went on. Is he saw my list of goals I had written down on a 3x5 card. I still have 3x5 cards all the time, and it was like, I want to move to LA, be in a commercial, and all these things. Yeah. And he saw it, brought everyone in, and was like, "You're not gonna do that." Like, he did like this whole thing, like, "Dude, you have zero shot. Like, what are you talking about?" And after, everyone made fun of me, and then it goes on, and Rob heard the story, but he was like, basically at his house, and he put on the Laker game. This was like 6 months later, and he saw a commercial for Kobe Bryant, and it was my first commercial. So he saw me actually do it, and I know he saw it because I was forwarded an email that was him. And so it was like pretty funny to come full circle.
Wow.
Of like, I did get to do something that was on my goals list, and that was pretty cool.
That's
so
amazing.
But I would say my parents, my dad drove a lot of principles through sports to me. Like, we would always watch, we'd go to games. I remember as a kid, we'd go to games, Little League games, and watch the older kids. And we wouldn't watch who'd hit the home run or who made the winning catch. We would watch who basically made the mistake, who struck out, who bobbled the ball, who missed it between their legs, and we'd see how they would respond. Would they run after it and go get the ball and hustle? Or would they slam their bat, blame other people, you know? Basically, their attitude. What would their attitude be? And you could tell if they were going to be winners or losers in their life. And so, although we were very competitive in sports and I was pretty good athlete, I lost way more than I ever won.
Yeah.
And I won a fair amount, but I lost a lot more.
Yeah.
And if I hadn't taken away the bigger things from sports, then it would have been a waste of time. So my dad and my mom and my family, my older brother, you know, he was kind of my hero. He was the sports star in our little town.
Yeah.
And I still look up to him in a lot of ways with what he's done with his family.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a great family and wonderful kids, and, you know, just has it all together, where I kind of have some of that unstable stuff in my own life that you talked about too.
LA,
so,
LA yeah. 30 is very yeah. different than anywhere else.
Yeah, 30. Yeah, yeah. Some guy told me the other day, he's like, he goes, basically, you're a 30-year-old teenager.
Yeah.
And I got mad and I was like,
That's
he
all
nailed it.
That's
like,
most guys in LA.
I'm like, he nailed
30
it.
30 in Georgia, where I'm from, yeah. is like job, kids.
Three kids, yeah,
wife.
Another story.
30 here is like, I'm still figuring out what I want to do with my life.
I'm a kid. Dude, so one thing that I started doing, and with some of my friends, and actually Mayada is one of these people, is we pick one word each year.
Yes.
And I think hers, I saw her post the other day, hers is play.
Cool.
Like, she wants to be more childlike. Mine this year is relentless. Because I have
Love
these things
it.
I'm going for, and I just don't want to give up. I'm not, no matter how many no's I get, I'm just like unyielding. I wrote out the exact definition. I should have it memorized.
I saw it.
Okay, you
yeah.
saw it. So that's
I'm
like my thing
it.
For this year.
Yeah.
This is on the spot. I didn't prep him for this beforehand.
I do this too.
Okay, so you already have a word. You already
yeah.
know what it is. What is your word for
commitment?
Okay. Did you write that on my thing?
Mm-mm.
Someone else wrote commitment. I'm pretty 95% sure.
Commitment's mine.
Okay.
Is how
is there any area particular your whole
it's
life?
It's all of it, man. It's how committed am I to this vision? Like, I've got a very clear vision for my life, and the thing this year is how committed am I to this vision? Like, am I want to follow, I'm going to follow through. And that's my focus this year. There's certain things that I need to happen, and I know it's up to me to put in the work. So
yeah,
so that's
seen
my
it through.
Year, man. Commitment.
I feel like relentless and commitment are kind of like
same,
mine's
yeah.
just like a little more
yours
aggressive because
yeah.
I'm aggressive. Like, oh, I'm not relentless. Yeah, where you're like, it's
yours
commitment.
Is a little more
I'm
Sparta.
Seeing it through. Yours is a little more stable.
Yeah.
We're gonna talk about the
well,
stable.
Well, because I sort of have two words this year. The other one's balance. Is
oh, that's a great
I want to be balanced, but yeah, committed. Balanced but committed.
Whoever's listening, whether it's the kids that watch your show or we go to their schools
yeah.
or adults, grandmas, grandpas, whatever. Like, if you had boil it down into one thing, the best piece of advice that you could leave to people, and
yeah.
if you in once to feel you could pick
yeah.
a few more, what would that be? Like, for me, I told you, it's kind of attitude is everything. It's kind of how I boil life down.
Yeah. Take care of yourself first. But not at the expense of others. So, like,
okay.
Take.
I saw it on your thing, love thyself.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
It's like, be kind to yourself, be on your own side. but I guess it'll be something we've talked about. But then create a vision for your life and for the world that makes things better for everyone.
Yeah.
Right? Like, root your life into being of service to this global community you're in.
Yeah.
Like, what can you do? How can you be in the world? How can you live in the world that's going to create some positive ripples?
Yeah. Well, bro, I love it. First podcast down. Woo! This is easy. We're going to do this. This is going to be huge.
Dude,
and we're going to look back at this.
Off so you and I can just do this. We'll just talk for the next 4 hours.
The hour before. Exactly.